the DUP is endangering the union, according to the leader of the UUP, Robin Swan. In his speech to the Ulster Unionist Conference at the weekend, he was scathing about what he sees as the damage the DUP has done to unionism.
The RHI inquiry provides a daily drip feed of just how shambolic the last executive was. As that inquiry goes into areas that the Public Accounts Committee that I chaired could never have reached. Ministers who don't read legislation, minute taking cast aside, and grubby politics. It's not a political farce on television, but rather an insight into the inner workings of the Sinn Féin DUP executive who operated in a state of almost permanent paranoia and self-interest. And then I reflect on how unionism has been dragged into the gutter by the DUP. And conference, I'm angry.
Well, Robin Swan is with me this morning, the leader of the party. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
What happened to unionist unity?
Stephen, when unionism can't work together when it has to. But at this moment in time, when I'm in Westminster, when I'm in Brussels, Northern Ireland is now seen as some sort of second-class state within the UK. And it's not where I want it to be as a unionist leader. It's not where I think it should be as a unionist leader. And the way, and I'll be blunt about this, the way the DUP are behaving in Westminster is turning MPs against them. And by doing so, it's turning them against unionism, and it's turning them against Northern Ireland. I think, you know, your interview with a Conservative MP the other night in regards to his entitlement to an Irish passport because he lived in England shows just the lack of knowledge that a lot of MPs in Westminster actually have about Northern Ireland and what the union is actually about. And the more that that voice is solely reflected by the DUP and the way they're behaving over there at this moment in time, the worse it is for Northern Ireland and the worse it is for unionism.
Well, what do you mean the way they're behaving?
Well, when we look at on a day in, day out basis, when Nigel Dodds was talking about voting down the forthcoming budget as a show of strength or almost to put manners on the Conservative Party, then with Sir Geoffrey coming out a few days later saying, no, we're not going to. Sammy Wilson, the MP, going to the ERG group and almost being welcomed as some sort of saviour to the right, or Rees Mogg. You know, the voices coming out from the DUP at this moment in time in Westminster aren't consistent. So there's a wee bit of what everyone in Westminster wants coming from them. And it's putting a message across that Northern Ireland is just out for what it can get out of the union.
So do you not back the DUP's position on Brexit? Do you want Northern Ireland to remain?
No, I want Northern Ireland to be detected as a main part of the UK with the same regulations and the same controls that the rest of the UK does.
Well, that's what the DUP is fighting for, Robin.
But it's how they're fighting for it, Stephen. There's a way about going about this that still leaves unionism and still leaves Northern Ireland as a credible player, as a respectful player, and actually as a partner, rather than somebody that's actually getting into Westminster and using the politics of bullying or almost ransom. It's not how I do politics, Stephen. And I don't think it's how my party does politics. And I don't think it's how we in Northern Ireland, when we should be looking for friends, when we should be looking for converts or champions to the union and actually to protect them, Northern Ireland's place within the UK. It's not how I think our politicians over there should be behaving.
And some people might argue that the DUP are at least feisty, don't take any nonsense from people who don't keep the promises, and that they will fight very, very hard, aggressively, if that's what's needed, compared to the Ulster Unionist Party, who whimper around. Gently doesn't get you anywhere, they might argue.
Well, look, I know some people may say that, and I suppose that comes down to a style of politics. But the politics of never, 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 no, 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 didn't work in Northern Ireland. Because eventually the DUP had to reverse that position and come into Stormont in partnership with Sinn Féin. So that bullying and ransom stance all the time may sound good, may be great for soundbite, may be great for media. But at the end of the day, it's about winning people over by sensible, thought out, reasoned arguments. And that's what we're trying to do. That's why we're still over in Westminster regularly.
But
that's why I was over last week with Jim Nicholson in Brussels, meeting the permanent UK delegations, the Irish.
But you don't need to be loud and bombastic in British politics now to be heard. Is the Ulster Unionist Party not too gentle?
No, Stephen, if running around thumping your chest and jumping up and down is what politics is about and what we should be doing, you don't convert people by doing that. You don't bring people onto your way of thinking. You have to actually sit down and talk to people. You can make us, you know, you can make the public, you can wind them up. And that's what worries me. You wind the public up, and then when there's a genuine need for politicians to come together, to work together, if you've wound your electorate up so much by that posturing, you can't do it. And I actually think that's why we are where we are today in Northern Ireland as well. The last two elections have been fought by Sinn Féin and the DUP, actually on platforms of division.
You've described the DUP's Ulster nationalism as grotesque. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's not continually going to Westminster with your hand out for what you can get. And it's about not playing the full part as an integral part of the United Kingdom.
What's wrong with putting Northern Ireland first?
There's nothing wrong with putting Northern Ireland first, but if you put it over the rest of the United Kingdom, when there's threats coming from the DUP to actually put the national agenda on health or on welfare reform, to actually block that in Westminster as a bully boy tactic, where the people of England and Wales then start to suffer because of the expense of Northern Ireland, they turn the rest of the UK off us. They make us alien. And by doing that, it makes it easier for Westminster to set us aside from the Union, because we're nothing but a troublesome area, rather than being a key player or a partner in the Union.
You say the fact is Sinn Féin and the DUP have strayed so far from good governance that it will take time to rebuild our institutions. What time will it take? How will we rebuild the institutions?
Well, Stephen, in that specific reference, and I think, no, your show was played out, what we've seen in regards to the RHI inquiry. I chaired the Public Accounts Committee when that audit office report first came forward from the Northern Ireland office of, and it shocked us. It shocked every MLA around that table at that time, because we thought it was a systemic failure within the civil service. But the more that inquiry and the Public Accounts Committee started to move, we saw it was bigger than that. We saw there was a failing into actually how our executive and how politicians were leading and how they were playing about with legislation, and how SPAD seemed to be taking a control of something that was nothing in their remit or somewhere where they shouldn't be. They shouldn't have been going. And I think the inquiry has played that out over the last 104 days that it has been sitting. It's something we could never have got to in the Public Accounts Committee. So that good governance, we've actually seen, you know, the likes of Tommy Johnson, the DUP's team, Chief Spad, has said that the whole way it was working now needs changed. And that's the way they were working it. It's a system of spadocracy that they had set up that allowed Northern Ireland and the government and the working of the executive to move to where it is. So it's going to take time to recalibrate how the executive works, how the assembly works, and how relationships with parties actually should be set down on a professional, if not legislative basis.
You see, all of this criticism of the DUP may very well sound good to your voters, except let's not forget that there was a signal that could have been sent by the electorate, for example, at the Carrickfergus Council by-election last week. And what happened? The DUP vote soared. The Ulster Unionist Party failed to eat into the DUP vote. So whatever words you're using, they're not punching through.
But Stephen, the thing about it is, you know, it's easy to take the Carrick Castle by-election sort of in isolation. We were replacing an independent unionist councillor who passed away. And it was a DEA that had two DUP councillors in it to the one Ulster Unionist councillor already there. So for us to take our vote to where it was, we saw it as a credible result. Would I like to have won it? Yes, I would. because we're a very good candidate down there.
But does it not frighten you that you didn't just not win it? The DUP vote, look, and I'm not here to speak for the DUP. They can speak for themselves. As I pointed out to people...
They don't come on to your show.
Well, they haven't come on to the Nolan show. They've boycotted the Nolan show as a strategy ever since I reported on RHI, because there was no story in RHI and I was going over the top, and, you know, a journalist in this country shouldn't be covering RHI.
And I remember that, you know, in the Public Accounts Committee, when we were getting towards the end, I was getting the same message. You know, this, you know, you need to bring this to a close. We're straying too far off what the Public Accounts Committee was about. But it was the right things to do at that time. And it wasn't just because it was a DUP minister was in charge, Stephen. It was because it was wrong. The public purse was being stripped out at that time.
But if you look at all of that potentially damaging information coming out of the RHI inquiry about the DUP, and that still hasn't given the Ulster Unionist Party any real momentum in terms of real votes, then I would put it to you that you just haven't got what it takes to damage the DUP, to take votes off the DUP.
Well, Stephen, we've come out of a decade of the politics of fear and division. Since the Belfast Agreement was changed at St Andrews and how the First and Deputy First Minister are elected, the DUP and Sinn Féin's politics come down to, if you don't vote for us, you're going to get them. I think Northern Ireland politics should be better than that. The elected has had 10 years of that being hammered into them. If you don't vote for us, you're going to get them. Now, is it going to take us time to change that mindset? Yeah. And that's what we're doing. Now, I know commentators and pundits have derided, you know, the result from the Carrickcastle by-election. I think it was a good result for us. As I said, I would have liked to have won it.
Are you serious?
We didn't. Yeah, I'm serious. I thought it was a good result for us. And a DEA on Sammy Wilson's back door, where the DUP at Westminster, the last time round, had the percentage in the high 40s, for them to come out and say it was a success because, you know, they got up to 30. That's, you know, everybody's going to take their own line out of this. I was proud. I was proud of the candidate they got. Stephen, there's still people coming forward wanting to stand for the Ulster Unionist Party. There's still people voting for the Ulster Unionist Party. Where if politics was so bad, and if our party was so far down and so irrelevant, as some of the commentators seem to point out, people wouldn't be bothering voting for us at all. But they still are. Westminster by-election. We increased our vote there as well at that point in time. Now, that should have been... It was a Sinn Féin seat to hold. And if the mantra that was being pushed at that time, if you vote for the DUP, you know, we can win this seat. People still come back to the Ulster Unionist Party. Even this isn't easy. It's not easy for me. You know, it's not. There's no magic wand out there for me to wave to bring people back to the Ulster Unionist Party. It's hard work. And for anybody that knows me and anybody that's engaged with our elected representatives, know that's what the Ulster Unionist Party is about. It's about that hard work.